Hey, boys and girls, Andy here. On this episode of the podcast, we have on a fan favorite, one of our favorite people in the world, Uncle Jamie, Mr. Jamie Rue. For those of you who do not know Jamie, you'll get to know him on this episode. He's one of our favorite humans out there. He's full of love. He's full of joy. And the best part is he's the father of a young Johnny Rue. Hope everybody enjoys this episode, introducing a new character to any and everybody who listens to our podcast, who will hopefully be a frequent guest here. He's the man. Hope you enjoy. See ya.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
And now, the Member Guest Podcast!
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rip it, rip it.
Woo! Let's go. Another episode of the Member Guest Podcast. Today we have a very special episode and guest, most likely a frequent guest of the podcast. We want to make sure we introduce him to you all early and often, Mr. Uncle Jamie Rue.
Jamie Rue, welcome.
Good luck and don't fuck it up. Maybe we'll come back to that.
We are here with Tony, Andy, myself, of course, Johnny Rue in the background, making us look good, making us sound good, doing all the things. And yes, if you're wondering, Jamie Rue and Johnny Rue are related.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
It's when we're around, I say, hey, Siri, Johnny's phone answers.
Jamie Rue. So fun fact about how I first heard about you, and this is a really good transition just to Jamie's introduction. So when I was about to join the farm last year, I was on a trip to Briggs Ranch where I met Hammer Time without knowing the Ruse at this time. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm really excited joining this new club, Windsong. You know, I only played there once, but I'm super pumped. And this dude, his eyes lit up and he goes, oh man, have you met Jamie Rue? And I'm like, no, dude, who's that? Like, I don't know anybody there, honestly. Like, I got my, you know, guys that are referring me. He's like, oh, dude, you got to meet Jamie Rue. He's an absolute legend. And I remember that name. Like, it stuck with me. And then on the first day that we went to Windsong and played with you, Tony, you might not remember this. Jamie Rue comes up on the 10th tee as we're hitting out the bag. He's like, hey, who are you? I'm like, Jordan, first year out here. He's like, oh, Jamie Rue. And I was like, God, you're Jamie Rue. I was told I got to meet you. And then ever since then, we become awesome friends. We got to do the Bettinardi experience, which we'll talk about. And I have just loved your personality, how nice you are to everybody, the connections that you've made. And I just know you have a ton of awesome stories that pertain to golf and life. And we're just going to talk about them today. So without further ado, why don't you tell everybody who you are?
Word. I came from a broken family. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska. I ended up moving up to Minnesota. Didn't play golf until, which is really strange considering that my entire family are golfers. Didn't play golf until, bought my first set of clubs on my honeymoon, which if that's not foreshadowing, we're down in Palm Desert and I bought a set of pings from some dude out of the paper.
What?
Yeah. Ping Eye 2s?
You just looked up an ad in the newspaper, said,
hey, paper.
I'm interested
like
in
the
I'm
physical
in
paper?
The paper.
No way. Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Classifieds.
Is that like the OG Craigslist?
Classifieds.
Yeah, yeah. It was classifieds.
Okay. What else could you buy?
Were you sure that they were golf clubs? Or like was there a party that thought like, oh, I might be like buying something I'm not supposed to right now?
I was really looking for cocaine. Well, I ended up with golf clubs. Yeah.
On your honeymoon.
Yeah. Oh, the white hot. That's a putter.
Yeah, the white hot.
Oh, that's a putter.
Got it.
And then okay. It grew from there. If we're talking golf stuff, there's a golf shop that used to be on 50th and Vernon called Golf Unlimited. The guys that ran it were awesome. And I had some buddies there. like, to make the world really small, one of the guys that used to work there is Andy Hewlett, who ended up being my sponsor at Butler.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That's insane.
So that place is, it was probably, back then it would have been like a five iron for me. Now it's like a seven, nine or whatever, no big deal. I would go over there
and hit the ball really far,
grab a wedge for the day, and then go back to our house and like chip downstairs. I remember when Mitchell was little, like, these little plastic golf balls that I would play him up in the air off of his head. They're plastic. He's fine. He's an engineer now. So
he's got a twitch, but
no effects. I didn't hit the balls off of Mitchell's head. And I kind of got hooked. My dad was a golfer. My uncle was a golfer. My sister was a very good player. My brother played in college. My sister played in college. And I didn't really pick up golf. I mean, the key thing was when I got my first job, John Primus, whom I worked for, said, "Hey, Jamie, I don't play golf. So if you want to take customers out, feel free." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll totally do that."
All of a sudden, I love golf.
Yeah. And so it was easy. And like, I'm not like the most, as we'll probably get into, I'm not like the most discerning golf course person, but I'm a big experience. Let's go have fun. And so that was always my gig, is, you know, breaking all the rules you're supposed to break for sure. Joined Southview, played at Braemar a lot.
I was
early.
At Southview too.
I love Southview. Was awesome. There's a pro named Craig Pressure that was there. That was just, he really was wonderful. And then John Harris's wife ran the shop there. Which, and she did a great job, which is, I don't know, it was just a great place to start. And then I went from there to the Windsong.
I want to take a step back, and because you were a very accomplished athlete yourself. So I want to talk a little bit about your athletic endeavors prior to
college,
to that.
Or what? You're an athlete?
Yeah, I wore a lot of drapey clothing, so it made me look like I was going fast.
Yeah, smart move.
But that was my deal. There's a guy that pseudo adopted me named Dave Jensen, and I got into soccer really early. And I was super lucky in Minnesota because the timing of what I had for the people that I played for was Buzz Lagos, who's the father of Minnesota soccer, Dave Jensen, who absolutely defined Minnesota soccer. Craig Lang was my college coach, and he was known internationally. We didn't get along so well all the time, but he was wonderful, and I learned a lot from him. But soccer was my gig. I played it in high school. But it was just, the window was really right because all the players I played with were super talented and our teams were incredible. So it was all, probably just more time. Probably that's my life. It's all about timing and luck. And it was 100% timing.
What position did you play?
In high school, I put up front because we had Manuel Lagos in the midfield and a bunch of other really good players. And then in college, I played in the midfield, which is basically me dribbling up the sideline, crossing the ball to John Mitchell, who would score every time. And there's a lot of good stories around that one. Yeah. Mitch is incredible.
Yeah.
It is funny. The most, the people that get the most addicted to golf seem to be ex-athletes.
Yeah.
You're an ex-athlete, collegiate. You're an ex-athlete.
Yeah. I mean, like,
collegiate. Were you collegiate?
Yeah.
So I wasn't. Yeah. I wannabe collegiate.
I played sports, like, you know, whatever. I competed in athletics.
Well, I think it's the only way, besides sales, it's the only way we can compete still.
100%.
Yeah, right? True. Golf, yeah.
Yeah,
we compete for different things now, which I'm sure we'll get into today.
Yeah,
it's I thank you, Tony. Soccer was a really big deal for me, and I would say that golf probably supplanted soccer because I couldn't run from here to this door if this place is on fire. But
there's
for those people wondering, the door is 12 feet away.
You know,
maybe 14.
As much as we're going to talk about golf here today, as much as we're going to talk about all the amazing things that Jamie has done within the golf world, he is probably the number one fan of soccer in the state because he has so many connections, has so many fun things that he has been able to do because of, not only because of golf, but because of his soccer connections and things that you've been able to accomplish there as well. And I mean, you've been kind enough to take me to a game. I really appreciate that, but it's the same type of thing. And universally with Jamie is you're going to recognize that Ollie, you know, everything that he's about is being a good person, being inclusive, being kind, being generous, and doing all the nice things that anybody would hope to try to be in the world. And it's kudos to you, man.
Yeah,
we're going to have to cut out me crying now.
I mean, when you guys meet my mom, you'll 100% see why. I mean, my dad's awesome too, but my mom defines that. And so that's
And just the way he says it, when you guys meet my mom.
That's right. Like,
you will meet my mom, just so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've met Sue.
I met your dad.
I've met
Sue. My dad's awesome. My mom's just different. She's the smartest person I've ever met, and she's the most humble person I've ever met, and you would never know what she does for a living. She doesn't broadcast anything about herself, and, man, that's my deal.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right, enough pumping your tires.
Boom.
Kudos. To how great
thanks.
A person.
Yeah,
you are.
Thanks.
So awesome. on the golf front, let's get into this a little bit. So you joined Southview, then Winsong. You're at Butler. Are those how many places are you a member at right now?
That's it. Winsong and Butler.
Winsong and
Butler. And I'm super. I mean, I go back and forth. If I don't know which one I would pick if I was forced to pick, because Butler's provided me opportunities that have been hard for me to understand.
What are a couple examples?
People that I've met there, there's an amazing crew. Bruce Patterson retired after 37 years, and Rodney Ray came in from Wolf Creek. And Rodney, I won't say he's transformed Butler. Rodney's just, he's made Butler a different version of Butler, or helped encourage and steer Butler. That, if nothing else, it's a gentleman's club. The people that have been there for 40 years, for the people that have been there for 2 years, it's super symbiotic. People are wonderful there. I've never seen service. Like, my favorite Butler story is my first story there. So Andy Hewlett convinced me not to join Olympia Fields because I was going to join Olympia Fields.
Is that in Chicago as well?
Yes, yeah.
So for people who don't know about Butler, it's in Chicago. It's probably, 20 minutes from the airport?
It is.
If that.
It is.
So it kind of, you can see the downtown skyline a little bit if I remember right.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not too far from downtown Chicago.
The first day I was there, every single person on site knew my name. I was pretty blown away by that.
That's pretty cool.
There's something about that place, man. When you show up there and you've never been on property before and they know your name somehow.
Mr. Rue, which I'm not like, that's not super big into that, but that's their deal and I won't fight it. I shipped a shaft there. I got there. Kind of late in the day after I closed out my work day and we have an office in Chicago. And I went downstairs and like, hey guys, I shipped a shaft. They're like, yeah, we got it. And I'm like, we got it. It's set up. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go have a beer and then maybe I'll get some balls. So I went upstairs and Hewlett was up there. And so I had one beer that led to another beer. Travis Johns was up there and Travis... You guys look up Travis on the internet. I think he's won the Illinois pro event, whatever the hell that thing's called, like 7 times. It's Adam Scott's, I think it's his best friend. And Travis is a lefty. And Travis, for those that have played Butler, plays number 10. He goes 4-iron, 4-iron on number 10, which is insane from the back.
That's insane.
So they're having beers, hanging out, and I kind of lost track of time. And I went downstairs. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm probably a little buzzed up. I'm like, I'd like to go hit that driver. They're like, I said, is the range still open? I'm like, yeah, the range is still open. And I went up there, and the entire range was scraped. And my shaft is sitting installed in my driver head with a little thing of balls. And that's the only thing that's on the range. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so cool.
Yeah.
So they literally kept the range open for you to hit your driver.
So I hit a few balls, and I'm kind of feeling pumped up, you know, and I go down.
Get in the candy store. It's your first day. Your new club.
This is my first day.
And, yeah.
A good buddy, now buddy, Mike Burke was working the desk. And I'm like, hey, Berkey, is there anybody left on the course? He's like, sure there is. I'm like, man, I'd love to go play. Like, I just got the shaft. I'd love to go play one. He goes, like, listen, great loop. Let's go down, play one, come back, play 18. Have a great time. I'm like, oh, my God. There was no one on the course.
Zero.
Zero. Yeah. So I just went down, played one, played 18. It was like the best introduction that you could have there. There's a lot of great Butler stories.
This is a great topic. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I've been thinking about this. So when I joined Winsong, I had played across the street at Pioneer Creek, and I got paired up with a member who was at Winsong, who couldn't play Winsong that day because it was like the member guest or something. And he's like, yeah, I'm a member across the street at this great place. It's called Winsong Farm. And like, I'd heard about it. I didn't know much. I sent an email the next day. Within a week, I played out there. And I decided with Grady, because I emailed, and he's like, come on out. Like, we'll have you out. Played out there. I decided on the fourth hole I was going to join. And it was strictly golf course for me. I was like, this place is unbelievable. But I actually, in your thoughts, because joining a golf club is a very interesting sort of like micro economy. Like, how do you vet a golf course? Obviously, like, you got to know people and have conversations. I'm an impulsive guy. I didn't do that. But like, if you're going to check out a club, like, what are some tests that you should run? What should you be looking for? What should you be thinking about? I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this because you are Captain Fun.
I'm at Windsong only because John Greenagle convinced me before it opened that, hey, Jamie, a bunch of us are going to join. You should come out here. And this is back when Minneapolis and Windsong were going to do a joint thing, which would have been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm at Butler because Andy's like, you're not joining Olympic Fields. You got to join Butler. So I've gotten kind of lucky.
Yeah.
But I do think, here's what I don't like. I don't think that anybody should have to act unlike themselves anywhere they go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I know what to do. I know my audience. I know what's, you know, the proper behavior given the circumstance, whatever. But, you know, I think it's got to be about whatever you like. Like, some people really like the country club vibe, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not a country club vibe guy.
Yeah.
I'm a golf club guy vibe.
100%.
But I'm also about, you know, I don't like exclusivity in a certain way, but there's things have to be inclusive, to use Tony's terms. That's really important to me. I like watching how members interact with the staff. If I were to judge one thing, if people are kind to the staff, it's a place I want to be.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, we'll get into the 15 ways to get dick cancer on the golf course.
You know what my favorite Jamie Rue thought is? That every year the golf staff should be able to fire one member.
Oh my God.
I mean, it totally makes sense.
I love the idea.
Wow. Once a year, it's like an elimination process.
You know what else? I also think...
We should be able to fire staff.
No, conversely, what I think we should do is, okay. I think for many places, the staff doesn't get to park in the parking lot. I think annually there should be a vote of your favorite employee and give them a parking spot up in the front.
Without question. Because you know that there's people that just go above and beyond.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do you, like, for example, you go to Butler and... like they go out of their way, or you go to Windsong and a member or a staff member will go out of their way to make your day great.
But to Jamie's point, like even when I went to Butler, only been one time, it was awesome. But like the way that they treated you was still
like a normal human.
It was like a cool, casual, like it wasn't like the pull up red carpet suit and tie, Mr. Hagel, good to see you. It was like a, you know, hey, Mr. Hagel, how you doing today? What can we do for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like a casual vibe the entire time, but everybody was like, still the service was awesome, but it wasn't like over the top where you felt like you had to Jamie's point, do something out of your norm. That's how I feel at Windsong too.
They probably know their audience too and treat people according to, you know, personality matching.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I walk in with Jamie Rue, so like, I got...
Yeah.
Mike Dosbach, the general manager, my first 5 years there, I'm like, so Mike, am I still a member? He's like... week to week, Jamie.
it's a probationary period.
Month to month. And I'm so lucky to be there.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds like I'm not trying to be cheesy or whatever. I feel the same way about Windsong. I don't know where. I mean, there's a lot of other places I'd like to visit.
What's on your list?
What's the top places you've visited and top places you want to visit? Maybe like three to five each.
I got engaged at Pebble, and my mom lives out there, so Pebble's super special to me. I played with Johnny and Mitchell and John Mitchell for my 50th birthday out there, and that was a killer trip. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that how they got their names?
My grandfather's name was John, and Mitchell was probably influenced by John Mitchell, probably, yeah. I just came back from Calusa, where we played a match against the crew from... the Chicago Medina, an awesome crew. The Butler crew was really good.
What was the turnout of that?
We won. I'm bad at like the points thing, but we won. We had more points than they did. Whatever, however it works.
Well,
I'm curious. I want to know how many matches you won.
It was a club versus club thing.
Yeah, it was a great idea. Sammy Bettinardi organizes it, and. I was lucky enough to get picked. No idea why.
So it was the Butler Club versus another
Medina.
Oh, like
yeah, Medina.
Minnesota Medina.
No, Chicago Medina.
Oh, Chicago Medina. Medina. Yeah. The Chicago Medina.
To be fair, I don't think you need to say Medina. Chicago Medina.
Yeah.
But okay.
I think you just say Medina.
But we have a Medina.
I think you say Medina Medina when you're talking about the Medina.
But we have a Medina in Minnesota.
We do.
They're not even they should not even be in the same.
That's what I'm saying.
I know, Tony, we know that, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all do.
It's an awesome club. I mean, great history. I think they have 6 or 7 courses there.
Wow. But you guys won?
Yeah, we won.
Nice. Yeah. Good win.
For the third time, you guys won.
Second time. Calusa is unbeatable. Like, everything we've talked about, like service levels, they have one of the, maybe the best locker room I've been in.
Mm.
Whisper Rock is
pretty legit.
So fun to hang out.
That's like, I feel like that's my one. I want to go to Whisper Rock. I want to see Whisper Rock.
There's so many Minnesota.
After everybody has said that.
Yeah, you can make that happen.
Like we talked about when we were together, like Whisper Rock, I can be there and not play golf and have a great time.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was one day I was there 10 years ago and every single person that was working on the range, including caddies, and every single person as a member or guest was all from Minnesota. The entire range is from Minnesota.
That's pretty wild.
So
I too am from Minnesota. If anybody there is wondering,
I would say places I haven't been. I haven't been to Pinehurst yet.
Love it.
We should definitely plan a trip to Pinehurst.
I think so. There's a
you know, we did my bachelor party there. That was a great trip. That. Yeah, played number 2, number 4. Pinehurst is cool.
Is anybody here getting married soon that's going to have a bachelor party?
What's cool about Pinehurst is it's not just the resort facilities. You got like Tobacco Road there, Dorming Club.
Tobacco Road is, I heard, is Mid Pines. Awesome.
It's crazy. You would love it.
Are you part of the Captain's Club?
No.
Are you, Tony?
I am, yeah.
So the Captain's Club thing has their Pinehurst thing is in, they have 9 spots left. I think I might go on that.
When is that?
I have to look.
What's the Captain's Club?
We need to give context. Do you guys need to... the Captain's Club is an affiliation that you can be a part of that is members at clubs all across the country. And it's basically...
John was telling me about this.
Well, there's a couple different ones. You can
golf with people at their clubs, right? They'll bring you as a guest.
There's a few different ones. There's some ones you have to pay for, some ones that you can just join a la carte. There's some... whatever it may be, it's a way to aggregate and be connected to people that are members at clubs all across the country and create connections and be able to go play with other people.
Brian Littleton.
That's cool.
It created
no free ads, but
it's awesome. I mean, you guys check it out. I mean, I know.
I've never heard of that before.
I came to the Captain's Club because of Meet Maida, who is a phenomenal human.
He's a wonderful guy.
Sean Clemens was part of the Captain's Club. A guy called them saying something about Minnesota golf and meets like, wait, you in Minnesota, you need to meet Jamie Rue. That person was Timmy Justin.
That's how you met Tim Justin?
That's how I met Timmy Justin.
That's literally how you met Tim, yes. Tim Justin through
so
a guy in
that
Chicago.
Day at Castro's, Timmy's like, he walked up to me. He's like, you're Jamie Rue. I'm like, are you Tim Justin? Because he invited me to Castro's. I'm like, I'll probably be down there. I was already a member. He didn't know.
Who's Tim Justin?
Timmy Justin, Park State Bank. Timmy Justin is a fucking legend.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy. Like, he's an awesome player.
Energy I might have, I can't. And Timmy's a whole nother gear.
Throttle to the floorboards, baby.
That day is.
Wait, is Timmy Justin the guy in your thing with the kata?
Yeah.
Oh, I've met Timmy Justin. Timmy. That dude's awesome.
He's the fastest player who can bomb it, and probably the most generous person.
He went to the Briggs last year. Yeah. Okay.
Timmy's the best. Well, that day, I introduced Timmy to Yumbo and to Dio. And now, like, those guys are inseparable. So it's just like, that's what golf is about, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's, I think Minnesota is the 1 degree of separation. And I think if you're a douche, you can't get very far if you live in Minnesota. But if you make it smaller via soccer, via golf, via work, it's, golf is such a great way to bring people together. Unfortunately, you know, like, if I interview anybody or hire anybody, part of the interview process is always have a beer. And always play golf if they play golf.
Yeah.
Because you can tell everything about a person that golf.
You kind of can. I think people should be at their best when they're on a golf course, you know? So you can learn a lot about somebody it's just the duration of time. You're spending 4 hours with a human. It's longer than 30 minutes. It's enough time to kind of suss somebody out. But there's a lot of things you look for or you can observe about people on a golf course. How do they handle adversity?
Temperament.
what's their temperament like? You know, what are they about? Are they about having a good, that's a big one. Like low key, like there are people that straight up cheat in golf.
And there's a difference between blatantly cheating and like not knowing you're cheating. Right. Like I got buddies that don't really know it. Like they're not doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
But because they don't know the rules of golf and they're you know, 30 handicap, whatever, they don't care. It's not a big deal. Then there are people that blatantly cheat.
Yeah. I think that the how do people handle a bad shot thing is like a really good way to just like generally see what somebody's about.
You're dead right. You guys have to, in a future podcast, you're going to have to find the story because I've heard it in Green Bay and I've heard it, it was at Friar's Head where the prospective member went out to play with three members and launched his ball over the green, went behind the green, couldn't find it, chipped it up. Oh, I found it, chipped it up, knocked on the green, and it was, in fact, in the hole. And the three members, like, gotta go.
Yeah, gotta go.
Not so, a member here.
There's a it's Green Bay or Friar's Head.
Wait,
whatever.
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
So the guy hit an approach shot. I mean, it might have been a par. I don't think it was a par three, because if it had been a hole in one, it'd be kind of too.
Okay, so second shot on a par four, 150, whatever.
And thought he launched it over the green. Went down, dropped a ball, hit it up on the green.
Oh, found it.
Found it.
Found it down here.
And in fact, it was in the hole.
Oh, he had hit his second shot in.
In, and the other members found it. So research that one. I don't know. Ricky probably knows the story from somebody. Or Jimmy Kidd probably knows.
What?
That's a tough day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a short day.
Double whammy.
Cheat. Don't cheat.
You get double whammy. You get called out for cheating because everyone knows you did. And then you find out that you just dunked one from... Oh, man, that's...
Not a good way to build a relationship.
That's brutal.
Ask me about golf clubs, and this is the reverse chronology. Again, other people probably appreciate architecture more than I do, but I've played Fishers, which was an incredible day because a good buddy of mine, Paul Finnegan, lives in Mystic, and we took his boat from Mystic out to Fishers playing with a buddy of mine, Tim Galmond, who I hosted, I'm going to reverse chronology, he and Brooks Ross at the Butler because Jimmy Howard, I had played with at the Butler Cup. And he's like, hey, Jamie, can you go host some guys? So I'm like, sure. And it was those two guys. I flew to Chicago and I had gout and a bad elbow. And I asked Brian Lee, who was helping host, like, hey, I mean, I can't walk and I can't play. Will booze help? He's like, well, sure isn't going to hurt. And I got absolutely rocked on tequila with Brooks and Timmy so much that they poured themselves back onto the plane. The whole moral of the story being, I got to play fucking Fishers.
And, Jordan, do you know Fishers Island?
No.
The criteria of how you get in there, I think you're probably either born or married into it.
Yeah. It's a golf club that's on an island outside of New York City. Fisher's Island.
One of the coolest logos in golf.
Yeah.
What is it? I'll Google it.
And that, Timmy and I are tight. Like, I went to New York for my birthday, and Timmy arranged a restaurant and bought a bottle of champagne that was glorious. I talked to him with great frequency. I talked to Jimmy Howard last week. He's now out at Pikewood National out in West Virginia, which we're all going to go play. But again, the story about why I love golf so much, because I love to meet awesome people. And this hosting thing has been great. I mean, I wasn't going to... tell them I flew from Minneapolis to go host them in Chicago. Like, that's what you do, right?
Yeah, right.
And they liked it enough that they've hosted me out there, and it's just the reciprocal thing is so cool.
That's really
cool. Well, you're probably the most fun guy that I've played golf with in terms of fun factor, and I do have a side story on that. One of the first times I ever played golf with you, we got to the first tee, and I usually, when you play with another guy, typically, you know, we play like a little Nassau game. 10, 10, 10, 10, you know, just a something. Little juice, something you know, line. Whatever. I'm not a huge like golf gambler. It's just not really my thing. Like I like to play for a little bit of money, but, Jamie like pegs it on the first tee. And I was like, hey, what do you want to play for today? And he like looks at me deadpan. And he goes, I don't play for money. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, what do you want to play for? He goes, well, we can play for two things. One, we can play for a compliment. It needs to be sincere. Or the other, we can play for merch. And so I want to dig into that a little bit. Number one, the playing for compliments thing is hilarious. What is a permissible compliment in your game?
Okay, so that's a hard and fast rule. I've done it with some great people. And the harder part is you got to wait until the, I like doing closest to.
For a compliment?
You can do it for sure throughout the round, but I like doing it for closest to in any circumstance.
And best. you can also press for compliments as well.
You could press for anything, I suppose.
I mean, I've played with you, and it truly, honestly, can make some people uncomfortable to you know,
J-Mo is a little uncomfortable.
You're in the middle of the fairway.
J-Mo is uncomfortable.
And Jamie's like, all right, closest to for a compliment. And you're like, yeah, sweet. And then, you know, Jamie hits it closer than you because he usually does. And then,
dude.
And then, you know, you see some guy who, you know, is a little bit out of their comfort zone by having to give a sincere compliment. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you do every day. And it has to be sincere. And it's really pretty dang fun, actually.
It is a little bit. Again, I like to push people's, my mom would say envelope, but I say comfort zone. And you know the right combination of people when to do it. And I've got great stories and good examples when we have done it. But, you know, if there's people that may not know each other very well, they have a chance to get to know each other. Mm-hmm. And so the rules of the compliment game are pretty simple. There's, you know, it's in four players, one person's going to be close. It has to be heartfelt. I think, Andy, you said. Mm-hmm. It cannot be tongue-in-cheek. It cannot be ironic. It cannot be esoteric. Like, hey, I think you have, I like your shirt.
Yeah.
And it has to be before you walk off the green.
Yeah.
And it's easy.
That's such a great game.
It's fun. One of my favorite examples I played with, I went to the Winsong and Roy was there. He's like, hey, Jamie, do you want to play today? That probably sounded like a leprechaun. But yeah. I can't do a South
doesn't,
African.
Doesn't sound like
I South love Roy Bremer. If anybody gets a chance to meet Cebu, then it's a gift. He's like, you want to play today? I'm like, dude, I am working. I can't. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, why? He goes, I'm playing with Eric Van Rooyen, Alex Galgert, and Timmy Peterson. I'm like, yes, I want to play.
Yeah.
And I did that with those guys.
Played for a compliment.
On 13. So Feely and Timmy Peterson was unreal that day. And Eric were playing from the blacks and we're playing from the blues. And in the 13, I had 105. Eric was to my left. He had 98. And Feels had like, gosh, I'll say it was 93 because he went third. I'm like, hey, want to play closest to for a compliment. And I like 13, and the number was really good. And so I hit it to like a foot. And Eric pulled his left, and Feels, the pin was kind of that front, like mid-right location. Feels spun it off. And so Eric did the compliment. Feels.
What was Eric's compliment? Do you remember?
He said, I have a great way of making people feel very at home.
So that's a great compliment. That's sincere.
He's awesome. Yeah. Feels like, fuck you. I'm not playing for a compliment because that's him.
Yeah.
So we'll play for a hat. So I'm like, fine. I had a hat going. We get to 16. And by the way, Eric hit this shot on, it's the coolest shot I've ever seen at Winsong. Neck, maybe topped by the shot that came after this.
I was going to say the second one.
He hit it in that bunker right on 15. He had 178. He hit the ball, I think with a 7-iron. He hit it with 7-iron, I think. Yeah. All the way to the back of the green on 15 and spun it all the way to the front out of a fairway bunker. And you know how deep that one is. I mean, I had never seen anything like that before.
Wow. Spin 30 yards?
It was insane.
From 180 yards.
It feels as like, yeah, he's really good out of the bunkers. I'm like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
So we get up to 16 and like, hey, Jamie, double or nothing closest to. I'm like, yeah, hats. I need a hat. And we're like $500 for dunks. We'd already concluded earlier in the round. And he was just over the ball for Eric forever. And Eric looks at me like, what the fuck? And he launches it, I think at 206, 6-iron. And in the air, he goes, how the fuck do you like that, Rue? Don't. In.
No.
No.
Jars it.
For a one.
Well, I lost the hat, which sucked. But he made a hole in one.
Hits an ace and says it like,
yes.
While the ball's in the air. While the ball's in the
air. Yeah, and it cost me $500.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a great day.
That's unbelievable.
And it kind of started the compliment story. Then we all kind of got together.
I have never seen a hole in one.
And then
I've never even seen one.
What are the origins of playing for Merch? Because I think that's maybe the greatest game I've ever encountered.
I'm sales, not operations. Like, when it comes to details, I sometimes don't have all the details. So when it comes to like the gambling thing, like I have no idea what's going on with gambling. Like people describe it, Nassau, for the first day, they're like, yeah, whatever. I had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
And then I figured out what NASA was, but they're like 555, and you know, you can beat, you can end up recouping it, doing whatever. I'm like, that's just fucking boring. When you play for 20s, $60. Like, product is so much more tangible.
Because you have to,
you get to wear it.
No, the best part is when you play in this game is you get to both walk into the pro shop and you get to go pick something out and put it on the desk and be like, he's paying for it.
It's true. Yeah. And there's, the thing is, it's kind of, it's spun a little bit where Andy said about presses, you press somebody when you're playing for product and you're playing for two pieces of product now.
Yeah. I've heard of people losing product 7-8 ways.
I'll give you a story. It was Prousey and Matt Stone and Mark Ogren from Hazeltine, and Ogren and Stone got matched up, and Stoner loves to gamble. So we're playing for product. There were 7 presses on, and Prousey stuck one on 18, made the birdie. We won 7 ways.
What'd you get?
On product,
okay, so,
by the way.
Okay, so I had Prousey take Stoner, and even Stoner called me after the fact. He's like, I don't know if this is fair, because Prousey bought a laser.
like a range finder? Yeah. Like a, those are like $400.
Yeah. One of the nice belts, maybe 2 of the nice belts, some hats. It was like $1,500.
Wow.
Prousey buys a cart.
So this is like the whole dynamic of playing for product that I think is fascinating. So just to be clear to our global audience.
Yeah.
Playing for product literally means you can buy anything that the pro shop will sell you.
It's so you got to know that if you stick somebody hard, you're just welcoming getting stuck.
You're
going
to get stuck.
And
yeah.
I guess I went to Waterville with John Mitchell and Mark Ogren, and I'll come back to what I took off of Ogren. I lost at Waterville 5 ways to Ogren. This is the worst thing that's ever been done to me in the product game. He bought me a golf bag with my own money and gave it back to me.
Wow. Wow.
Wait, no. He bought you a golf bag.
With my own money.
And then gave it back to you.
Wow. That's like hurtful.
That's quite a badass
bag. You know what's great? Because anytime people saw the bag, like, that bag's so cool. I'm like, fuck, I got to tell that story now.
Yeah.
Now, in Ogren's case, I went to Hazeltine. Because, I mean, I could go get 7 things at Winsong or whatever.
And Hazeltine's a great shop, too.
And I found out how much the couch cost at Hazeltine.
Oh, wow.
It was $2,200.
But this is just the couch sitting in the pro shop.
Just to the right. Well, before they did
you
the renovation.
You bought a couch?
Well, it was 20. I only had, Prousey stuck Stoner for $1,500. I mean, $2,200 is a lot of hundreds.
You bought a couch?
I didn't buy it, but we went through the full thing. Like, Mark's a big dude. Maybe you can put it in the truck. And he loved it. He's one of those ones, he doesn't know if it's real or not. So I'm like, hey, Mark, I got the couch. And he's like, I'm like, no, dude, it's not going to fit in my Audi.
Can you put this in your truck for me and drive it to my house?
So there's been some pretty good, the product thing just works. Steiner stuck me super, super hard. He went into to Kringen at Spring Hill. He's like, hey, Jeff, I just took Jamie for product, and he bought 3 putters under the auspices of one. But I'd also beat him the week before for something, so he was just kind of getting back to me. But the product thing works really well because you could be get somebody for a hat, but that's kind of like playing for $2.
I know,
But you also know you know who you're playing with. You know what they're gonna do to you. You know what type of product that if it's your buddy, maybe you're gonna stick him with a polo or something.
Yeah, but
if you're playing with people that you know are going to buy a rangefinder or they're going to buy a couch, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, and if you beat them, you're going to stick them.
I mean, I
like the product game because your character comes out. It's an exposer of who people are.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that you can go home and everyone's significant other says how do you have another golf shirt? Hey, baby, I won it.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And then you have that one piece, if you go Axe Bugsy or Teddy Purcell, they went to town on me in cashmere at the Butler.
Cashmere, I was there.
It's a tough fabric.
I was there.
Man, when you were just, you and JMO were just in the tank and we were walking through, but Jordan, get cashmere. Cashmere. We're getting cashmere. Yeah. I'm like, Jamie, I don't need to do cashmere. Cashmere.
The all-time stick'em fabric.
Cashmere. dude, you got to get cashmere when you're here.
Yeah.
I don't need it, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I love that sweatshirt.
Can I tell you guys the best product game, the best product result? This is my favorite one. Sorry, this is my favorite one. We're at Calusa, and like Steiner stuck me pretty hard a few times, and I took Steiner. He was just off that day and wasn't feeling good, and I throttled him. So there's a lot of discussions. So you stick somebody hard when you throttle them, like if they're playing poorly. If I win, I want someone's best. And I hope Mark Meadows is listening to this, and I hope that Yumbo is listening to this because it makes me so happy. And they just brought it up when I was down there last weekend. So the whole thing at Calusa is the cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony, you weren't on this trip, right?
Nope.
No. I beat Steiner, and the big round 12 top table at the middle of the bar at Calusa is awesome. Everybody sits there, and I'm like, so the thing with getting product is you go in together to the shop, right? Like, hey, dude, this shirt. Yeah, I got the shirt. Steiner does the no look, grabs his credit card, is like, hey, go get stuff. You just go get it. I'm like, that's not the spirit of it. He's like, fuck you, I'm not going to go with you, because he's really pissed off. So I'm like, Yumbo, come, Matt Ulrich, come with me. He can tell the Yumbo story, and when he's on this podcast, I'm not telling the Yumbo story. And so Yumbo and I went in there, and
like
I knew
how he got that name.
Yeah, I'm not telling it.
That's Matt Ulrich?
Yeah, Matt Ulrich.
He'll be on.
Yeah.
I love Matt. I'm just, yeah. Yumbo is, okay. I'm going to remember that.
I'm not going to tell that story. So Maddie and I go in there, and I know Alex, the pro that's working. I'm like, Alex, you need to give me a receipt for the cannon. He's like, what do you mean receipt? Just do a receipt for the cannon and put like $750 on there, because it was just less than $800 that he stuck me for the putters. And I'm like, but put on there, Mr. Rue is paying for shipping. Okay, good. So I'm like, here, Yumbo, take the credit card. I wrap the receipt around it, go back in and give it to Ryan, and just let things play out. And Yumbo went in there. Just tell him I'm like taking care of wrapping it up or whatever. And it's not the big cannon. It's this little cool cannon they have in the shop. I have a picture of it, which I can give you if you want to post it, Johnny, because it's pretty cool. So Maddie walks back down the center aisle at Calusa, and I went to the left by the showers, which are the best showers on the planet, Butler and Calusa. And I go around to the edge of the last locker, and I watch the interactions at the table. And Yumbo hands in their seat and just kind of sits back, and Ryan's like, opens the thing up. He's like, the cannon? He bought the cannon? He bought the cannon. He fucking bought the cannon. He was getting more mad and more mad and more mad. And then Meds was just sticking him like, you know, what's the big deal? He's like, well, there was no tag. There's no tags on the cannon. You have to have tags. He made up that rule.
Yeah,
there's no tags. Don't worry about that.
Tags. If the pro shop will sell it to you.
Sell it to you. You can buy. Yeah,
exactly.
Buy it.
Which is a little segue. One of my favorite things to do before you play somebody for merch is to walk in the shop ahead of time and put post notes on the stuff that you're going to take off of him.
Like that move. That's a powerful mental move.
Can we hold these three, four items,
please? The chandelier at Spring Hill.
Yeah.
I put Chez's name on there. My name for Chez. But so Ryan's going through this iteration. He's like, he bought the cannon. And I walk around the corner, and he gives me the Ryan scenes look like, fuck. I'm like, dude, I paid for shipping. That's still probably my favorite product story.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's like, you got to go return. I'm like, how do I return a cannon?
Yeah.
You can't return a cannon.
No.
There wasn't even a tag.
Right? I always buy Sydney stuff from the shop too. Like if I go play 36, I'm like, oh, I'm coming home after a long day.
Bring her home something.
I love the irony. Did you get something at Butler?
No, remember we looked and they don't have any women's stuff because
that's the point. Is the irony of you get something for a lady from a men's only club and then they wear it. I think
that's right. Cause you got Jenny a little kid's t-shirt. Dude, James Waste walking around. I was like, dude, I got to get Jenny something. I'm like, well, they got kids over here. He's like, perfect. What size? And I was like, I don't know. It says like age 12. And he just holds it up. He goes, yeah, yes, it'll fit.
Yeah, it looks good.
That's great.
That's true. That's the genesis of the product story. I mean, massages are fine, but I just think it's so much more fun.
Speaking of being supported, talking about supporting your shop, which I think is a great reason to play the product game. I mean, it's better than money changing hands. But you're supported. You are supported by a couple golf companies.
Oh gosh!
That you're an ambassador
the product
of.
You're wearing.
Yeah,
and I want to dig into that. Okay. Because what's your index?
I'm a 5.9.
And you're sponsored.
Well,
dude, which it's like the foreplay guys. They got their photos impressive. Up at their like team TaylorMade.
Yeah, which is impressive.
By multiple companies.
Yeah, I just think that's a, whether it's tongue-in-cheek or right place, right time, that's how these have happened.
Who are you sponsored by?
Either way.
Because we're trying to get sponsored, so we need tips, tricks.
Let's be clear about what's
shout sponsored. Out Swanee's Golf and Lifford.
You're an ambassador.
Yeah, it's more, you know, and I think that like Sammy says it, like tongue in cheek and does the air quotes. I'm like, why do you have to do the air quotes? I'm right here. So
who's Sammy?
Sam Bettinardi. Yep. So yep. I've been playing Bettinardi since 2003. There's a guy named Todd at TKS Putters that would sell their tour only stuff. And one thing that I like is if there's one and if it's rare, it's mine.
Mm-hmm. One of one. I took a tour of some of Jamie's Bettinardi putters in his office the other day, and it's like taking a stroll down. It's unbelievable.
And so I started playing them. They're just so simple, and I liked them. And then I met Sam out at the Butler, and we just got to be buddies, and I started to get fit there, which is an unbelievable experience if no one has done. If you haven't gotten fit other than I like that putter, fit this putter for me. That's going to be completely the wrong way to do it, as Jordan can attest to firsthand. Man. So that's they've been really, really, really good to me. I still pay for stuff. I don't pay for everything, but I'm an amateur still. I still have my amateur status.
It's okay.
It's all cool.
We're all amateurs.
But I think Bettinardi's one, and then the Considine family are members at Butler, and Mr. Considine wrote me a letter about being an ambassador for True Temper and Wilson Sports. And I know that somebody
has
that letter.
Wilson Sports.
Yeah, and there's two lines in that letter that I think are great. One was, while you did not come highly recommended, we've decided to take a flyer on you. After just a beautifully written, you know, 18 out of the top 20 players play True Temper. And he talked about Wilson and True Temper because he was at Wilson, and now he's at True Temper running it. And then the way he signed it was, as I started the podcast, was good luck and don't fuck it up.
Is there any way you could read it?
Yeah, I think I said it.
For our global audience? Or do you want me to read it? Tone.
Yeah, Tom, here, I can, you got a better radio I can read voice. It. Did I send it to you?
I can read it. Okay. You sent it to myself and Andy.
Oh, there you go. Andy, you're good at
I think I've read it in talking. Person in your locker.
That yellow piece of legal
Chicago.
Paper?
Yeah.
I've got it. Do you want me to read it, or do you want me to pass it? One of you guys can read it.
Sure.
Do you have it, or do you want me to read it, Andy?
Go ahead. Read
Go
it.
Ahead. Okay. Rip it.
Says, Jamie, the success and aspirational position that has been achieved by Wilson Sporting Goods and True Temper Golf is a simple formula: visionary leadership, great management, making the best product. Influencers, in quotes, using our products. Most of our influencers are professionals. True Temper has 15 of the top 16 players and 80% of them using our shafts. There are also local ambassadors. That is what you are. You do not come highly recommended, but we've decided to take a flyer with you. Good luck and don't fuck it up. And then it has his name and then signed CEO.
That's from Chris Considine.
Oh, what a legend, man. Buy Wilson stuff because that's my favorite story.
You know
ever.
What the great part of this is? It's not like on a yellow, but it is on like one of those 8x12 3-ring binder sheets.
I'll tell you what, my
like
next irons are going to be Wilson.
Thing.
I tell you what, my Wilson staff showed up last
They're
week.
They're unbelievable.
I play Callaway.
Yeah.
I don't have any agreement with Callaway.
You got it yourself into a set of Wilsons?
I have a pair. You'll see them at the office if you come by
CBs
tomorrow.
Or what?
They're the staffs.
They're the staffs. And
Wilson staff blades or the CBs?
So Manolo was at Windsong for two events, and we played.
Manolo does golf, though.
Manolo does golf. He ends up being a friend of a friend, which is a crazy story.
I'm a subscriber to his channel now.
That's smart. He's a good dude. And he's got a great story, and he should be on. He should be on here.
I would love that.
But he was playing. I'm like, dude, let me hit him once. I'm like, wow, are these good? So there's the staff blades. And
I think Wilson has the most majors in of all golf brands, right?
I'm pretty positive. Sales, not operations.
Very slept on. Very slept on iron company.
They're cool.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit more stuff, you start to realize how much golf has been manipulated by marketing.
100%.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like so every year you see the commercials and yeah.
So you got the Wilson Staff blades.
Yes, I did.
They're beautiful.
They're gorgeous.
They're gorgeous and they go.
Love it. I can't wait to see them.
So those are the two companies I have an affiliation with. The Bettinardi ones, I'm just such a huge believer. Like most people walk up and grab a putter and Tommy, who fit me, who fit Jordan, fit J-Mo, like his process is so solid. And the last this last trip we went on, he's fit me in something I would have never grabbed, never thought of. And I rolled it like a
champion. Dude, we went out to Butler that day and made everything. I like it was the there's a little magic in the air, I mm-hmm. think. There was a part of that. But we literally made everything that we saw with just brand new putters. We got a Bettinardi that day made for us.
I can't wait to get down there.
The trip before, Joe went down. So we flew down. Joe flew down separately. He wanted to go to Bettinardi. He went and got fit. He met us on the seventh hole and could not stop talking about his putter. And one putted eight. And I'm like, dude, no. So I said, if you're talking about it so much, I saw him putt on seven. Next time you one putt a hole, you have to talk in the first person the entire next hole. He one putted eight and was walking down. I'm like, so Joe, what do you think? He's like, I like this putter. I'm like, what? He dropped down like a total champion. Joe Mauer. I mean, he doesn't need to be getting fed shit, but he really does need to get fed shit. Everybody needs to be fed shit, right?
Sure.
He drops down and does a push-up. On nine alone, he did 17 push-ups. He rolled, just like you, J-Mo made everything, you made everything, Joe made everything that first day. So don't waste your money, go get fit. Yes, it costs a little bit more, but I mean, it's the most important club in the bag, right?
100%.
Yeah, so I'm a big Bettinardi supporter. It's a wonderful family. I met Bob, I met Sammy's mom, she's the queen bee. And Sam. And
is that where the Queen Bee comes from?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. So we've told a lot of good stories tonight. You have a rule about stories in the golf course.
But I don't know. We have a rule, but I think it was somebody else's idea.
Was it?
I don't know.
You can only tell stories on par fives.
Yes. I love that.
That's
one.
A good story.
That's a great rule.
It's
a great rule.
Because you think about it, like talking on the golf course, you have to time it right. Because if you're in a par three, it's on the tee box.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or you just hit a really good shot, and so you want to tell a story so you get the excited story, and excited stories are dumb.
That's true. That's
very true.
To a man, that's 100% true.
And then par fours, it's the timing is always off,
it's choppy.
Too.
It's choppy.
But par fives are plenty of time.
Yeah, plenty of time for stories.
And just I will add, shot. Generally speaking, there's only like three or four in a round. So that breaks it up enough to the point where a good story brings something that is only going to be told twice a side.
And think about, you know, if it's a short story, it's a joke.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. Right? Par fours are for questions. That's a good one.
I do love asking questions.
So Jamie's asked me some crazy questions on par fours. Probably my favorite is, if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Oh, God.
And so, you know, I spent a lot of thought on that. Do you want to tell them what yours is? Because yours is the best.
I'm scared.
Trying to think about it.
It's you hear like teleportation. You hear
before you say. I want Jordan to tell me what his
is. What's
for
your,
sure
what mine is.
Yeah, what would be your superpower?
If I was a superhero, what would my superpower be?
If you have a superpower, what would it be?
Man, you're really putting me on the spot here. And
that's the point.
I'm definitely a thinker, but if I had to choose, just off the bat, it would be not teleportate, but like being able to fly really fast. Like I would fly.
So I said invisibility, which I think.
What do you need to be invisible?
Because you could see everything in the world. Like you could go to the craziest places. You could go to Area 51. You could just go anywhere.
No, that's just being invisible. Why does being invisible let you go to Area 51?
Because when they open the gate, you still
got
in.
But you still got to go there. Not invisible, right?
Yeah, but you can get in.
That's the point. I think I would. You know,
can you get in Area 51?
Because you're invisible, bro. You can walk right in.
How do you open the door?
Just tuck in right behind somebody.
Draw a picture of an invisible man and go to the Area 51.
You can see all kinds of. This video is going to get tagged by the NSA now. But I'm not going to Area 51.
All right, so I'm fly. You're invisibility. What's yours?
I mean, I think most people or a lot of people would go right to flight.
Yeah, yeah.
Least, you know, I mean,
it totally makes sense because everybody loves Superman.
The worst one would be you're going to say something, and I'm going to be like, "Oh
no!" I wish I had more time. The worst one would be immortality.
Okay, so what I always do is I try to so
slippery slope.
I try to. Some people say mind reading. I'm like, you really want that?
No.
Some people say
my girlfriend would. Like my girlfriend hates me.
The ability to influence any circumstance.
Yeah.
So like you walk through, and like people are really thinking, then you challenge it. And I'll never offer mine until they ask back.
Yeah. So tell us what yours is. Cause like Jordan, to your point of like, oh, you're going to have one that's so good that I didn't even think of. Like, yeah, but
yeah, he does,
but kind of. Go ahead,
Jamie. I'll wait until someone says like, hey Jamie, what would yours be? And I'm like, I would like the ability to give anyone an orgasm anytime. I want.
So just point at them. Could you imagine?
Orgasm.
Like he would be orgasm man.
So like picture it though, like somebody over putt, like
Zah.
Can you see like Jim Sand over putt? You're like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Or like someone speaking at a lectern at a college.
Yeah.
And you're like da da da, like da da da.
That's horrible.
That's one of the things. Forget riches.
That's so good. I think we're running out of time here, but I got to ask Jamie.
On that note,
if you had just because you're one of our favorite people, if you had, and I know we didn't give you any time to think about this, but if you had three rules for life, what would they be?
Mark Schill taught me that no one remembers what you say, but everyone remembers how you make them feel. And like that's it for me. Mm. I try to leave circumstances better than when I got to them. I think that's the returning the plates or, you know, borrowing a dish and returning it clean.
This podcast sucked and then you came on.
The other one that probably, I want there to be a circumstance where if I'm helping someone, it's not for the purpose. I never expect anything in return, but I want them to have as big of a win as possible as part of that like transaction. So those would be my three things. And that stuff's super important to me. I don't like talking about, as much as we're being jocular on this show, I have a purpose of being here. I don't like talking about myself. I don't like, you know, I like learning about other people. I just think there's so much lost if you don't ask questions and you don't try to learn. And that's 100% my mom. But my mom for sure taught me.
Jamie, that's why you have such a magnetic personality, because you've done so many things for so many people and made them feel really, really special.
That means a lot to me. That stuff, that's, I really care about that.
Dude, I've told 100 people about my day, the Bettinardi day. It was like best day ever.
So oh, that was a good day.
Seriously. And it's because of you.
Thanks.
We are up against the end of our time, but truthfully, thank you so much for being on our show, man. And this is not going to be the last time you're on here. Dude. So, we have so many more things that we wanted to talk about tonight. So we can't wait to have you back.
Yeah, this went fast. If I at some point in the future want to get into the 15 ways to get dick cancer on the golf course.
Oh, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to have you back. Jamie's going to be a regular guest. We love him. Johnny's here every night, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks everybody.
Boys. That was fun. Thanks so much.
That was fun. Thanks.